Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Brought to you by the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. Executive training programs to excel in today's competitive market.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome, South Florida, to Mind Your Biz Today. I am your host, Janie Smith. I am president of Smart Advantage. We're the company that helps other companies identify and articulate competitive advantages. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Creating Competitive Advantage, subtitled, Do You Think You Know Your Competitive Advantage? Think Again. I want to remind our listeners that we have a website, mindyourbiztoday.com, and we'd love for you to visit us, as our listeners do, and give us your program ideas, anything in particular that you would like us to be talking about, and your comments on shows. The website also hosts all of the previous shows. Again, Mind Your Biz Today is intended to help businesses in the South Florida community be better at what they do, whether you're a small business or a large business. We bring all kinds of industry leaders and experts from around the country on our show. And today we are delighted to have a local guest, actually, Dr. Robert Prezzozzi. I'm sure I said that wrong. Bob will straighten me out in a minute. He is the author of The Leadership Road. And, you know, we all know that there's nothing more important in a business of any size, whether you're an owner, an entrepreneur, or a leader within a large organization. How we lead is critical. So I want to introduce Bob and welcome him to the show. Now, Bob, just to give you a little bit of his background, he's currently a professor of management and department chair of management at the Wayne Huizinga School of Business and Entrepreneurship at Nova. He's been a consultant to consultants, an educator of educators, and trainer of trainers. He's on editorial boards of countless organizations, and he's the management editor for the Journal of Applied Business Research. He has consulted with, both in his independent consulting and through Nova, for many large, impressive organizations such as American Express, AT&T, Burger King, FP&L, Ryder. It goes on and on. This is a gentleman who's had an amazing number of hours of consulting in very deep organizational levels. So, Bob, welcome, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to the show this morning.
All right. Well, first thing is help me out because I think I butchered your name. Could you pronounce it correctly for me?
Yeah, Prezzozzi.
Okay, Prezzozzi. Not hard. I just didn't have enough coffee this afternoon.
I know what you mean.
So moving right along, you know, the book is very impressive. It's been out for 2 years, and I know you're writing more books because you have so much experience. So one day you and I can compare notes because I'm getting ready to launch the second book too.
Oh, great.
Different subject, but we'll talk about that later. So what is the leadership road that you talk about in your book?
The leadership road for me is a 12-lane highway with all 12 lanes, probably not more than 4 feet wide because they only hold human beings. And all 12 of those lanes are going in the same direction, because there are 12 behavior sets that leaders perform with on that highway. But before you get to that, you have to have people on the side of the road who cheer you on. They want you to be successful. They want the organization to be successful. And these people kind of represent leadership imperatives.
Okay, so the people on the side of the road represent the leadership imperatives, what you need from the leaders who are on the road. Is that, am I understanding you correctly?
Exactly, yes. And those may change through time, whereas the road itself pretty much continues to have the same 12 elements.
So
there's something that occurs in the business world or in the economic world that turns those upside down. But the four imperatives that they're operating under right now are execution a la carte, innovation ahora mismo, collaboration with panache, and critical thinking on the fly.
Okay, so those are the four top line initiatives, or what did you call them? How did you define them?
Imperatives.
Imperatives. And so what are the 12 lanes? What can you tell us about the 12 lanes of behaviors?
Okay, the 12 lanes go like this. Lane number one is develop vision and values congruence. That's where leaders have to begin. That's where entrepreneurs have to begin. Whether you're in a small organization or a large organization, whether you're a mid-level leader or leader at or near the top, it begins with vision and values congruence.
You know, I just want to say a word about that, Bob. It's so interesting because, as you know, I have about 40,000 hours of consulting with small, medium-sized business and C-suite executives, and what you're talking about is so critical and so important, yet my experience with organizations is it's something that a company does, slaps on the wall, and then never revisits again. So how do you and your work get folks to really take that seriously?
Well, I think we spend time talking about it. One of my favorite tools that I ask people to use is at the beginning of every meeting that they have as a group, that they take 20 to 30 seconds and give an example of how they saw or one of the values in action since the last meeting we had.
Oh, that's a great idea. I mean, whenever I think of a company that really knows their vision and mission, and it's really cliched because everybody talks about them, it's Southwest. I mean, you see that those folks living their mission and vision of having fun and letting their customers have fun every single day, don't you?
Exactly, yes. And that's one example of many. I mean, people at American Express have as one of their values the will to win. And when they talk about the will to win, of course, they're talking about being number one in their industry. And they're the only credit card company that I know of, and of course they're a lot more than credit cards, that really hasn't had a downturn in this economy. And their cardholders are charging and charging and charging.
Yeah, well, they were always smart where they went, were the first ones to go with the platinum card and the black card so that they cornered the high net worth individual, and the high net worth individual tends to keep, when you've got that business, I suspect you keep out of the recession pretty well. So that was a very smart strategic move, and I think that's probably another part of your initiatives, isn't it?
Exactly. And speaking about strategic, the second lane on the road is linking strategic elements. You know, wouldn't it be great if we had the marketing people talking to the distribution people? So that if we're a retailer, we advertise something in the big Sunday edition of the newspaper, when you go to the store, they actually have it. Or isn't it great if we could get engineering to talk to the people in customer service to find out what customers are really looking for?
Well, that's
linking strategic elements is kind of like that. It's real important. That they all connect.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Bob, because in my book I write about dangerous disparities, and what you just described is one of the dangerous disparities is employees don't know how important their specific daily function is to how well we can deliver the sales and marketing message. And I have all kinds of examples that I've seen in companies that are exactly what you're talking about. And it can be very costly when a company doesn't make that link for people. I like to say all employees are not created equal. Those that deliver the thing the customer values most are the most important, and that's where resource allocation should go. So,
100%.
So tell me, let's just move to your ideas about Leadership 2015. You want me to do what? tie into the road.
Okay. Well, Leadership 2015, what do you want me to do, or you want me to do what, really addresses the four leadership imperatives, the execution a la carte, the innovation ahora mismo, collaboration with panache, and critical thinking on the fly. If you go look at professional business magazines and even some academic journals, these are the four areas that keep coming up that people write about and say we need to do better. We once had Lou Gerstner here from IBM, and somebody asked him what's the most important thing American business needs to do to remain competitive, and he said one word, execution. For me, execution a la carte means a real, real tight focus. You know, when you order a la carte at a restaurant, you get that one thing, and you stay with that one thing. It's not a plate full of food. It's that one thing.
You know, could you tell me why it's so difficult for organizations to execute? We run into that with our clients all the time. We will take them through our process, and then they hit the wall when it comes to execution. What do you think the reason is that companies just can't get there?
Execution is an issue because we don't spend enough time with employees getting them to have staying power. Well, we need them to be more tenacious. And also, of course, we need them to be able to follow the exact ABC 1-2-3 process. And we can only do that if we've got a real great place for people to work, if they're motivated and excited. And you got to keep on that 100%. And I think if you keep people interested, motivated, excited, and focused, execution becomes second nature.
So that takes you back to where we started, which is your loop, your leadership loop. You create the environment for people to succeed, and then these initiatives, including execution, have a better chance of actually being realized. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes. Perfect.
So, you know, we're going to have to take a commercial break here. And by the way, our sponsor today is the Nova University Hudson Institute for Entrepreneurship. So right in your backyard, your sister company there, not company, but department, is that right?
Yes,
So we're gonna pause for a few minutes for that. So I want our listeners to stay tuned because Bob's got Dr. Bob here. We call him Dr. Bob affectionately. We'll be back in a few minutes, and he's got some more to tell us about behavior tendencies for leaders and what kind of leaders are successful. I think this is important, again, as I said, for any organization. So listeners, please stay tuned to Mind Your Biz Today. This is Janie Smith, your host. We'll be right back, and we will have some more dialogue for you to help you think about how you lead or how you are impacted by leaders in your organization. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
Searching for executive training programs to help your company's growth? 90% of South Florida's major corporations have sent their executives to training at Nova Southeastern University's Hudson Institute of Executive Education. With workshops ranging from sales to Six Sigma and from management development to mergers and acquisitions, your executives will gain the skills necessary to immediately impact your bottom line. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/execed.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Welcome back, South Florida, to Mind Your Biz Today. I am Janie Smith, your host, and again, thank you, Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. We have with us today Dr. Robert Prezio. I'm sorry, Bob Prezzozzi, he's a professor of management and department of chair of management at the Wayne Huizinga School of Business and Entrepreneurship at Nova. So today is a big Nova day at Mind Your Biz Today, and they're just wonderful people over there. They are terrific at helping South Florida train employees and potential employees to be better in your organizations. So let's get back to our conversation. I'm really intrigued about your book, The Leadership Road. And so let's talk a little bit more. What kind of people will be successful on the road? Is it innate, or can you learn it? And who are those people?
Well, I think you can learn it. A lot of people in the past have thought it was innate. I've seen two different people that I respect very much in leadership education who say it's kind of like 70% you learn it and 30% maybe you had it when you were born. So what's the 70% that we have to work on to make people better leaders? Well, you know, you got the 12 elements on the leadership road, you got the four imperatives, but from a purely behavior trait perspective, we need leaders who are tenacious. They have to stick with it. I mean, people are bobbing and weaving and wiggling and weaving all over the place. So is the economy, and so are their competitors. So they have to be able to stick with something. When they're right, just like if they're not right, they got to give it up. We need people of integrity. I think that speaks for itself. We need people who are adaptable. These are the people who can weave when they have to weave somewhere on the leadership road. And we also have to have people who have resilience. You know, it doesn't always go right. It doesn't always go perfect. Okay, well, let's get going again. Licking our wounds for 10 seconds is probably long enough. Let's bounce back and let's get going. Let's get moving along that road. And then another behavior trait that I think is real important is flexibility. And these are people who are able to look at more than one way of doing something and then, you know, maybe do some cost-benefit analysis to see which is the best. But they're open to the possibility.
You know, you brought up two things that I think are so important. They're all important, but one thing that strikes me in this economy is being adaptable and flexible because... You know, it used to be the companies would do business plans for 3 years out, 5 years out, 10 years out. You can't do that anymore. You're lucky if you can plan 6 months out and a year out. So flexibility and adaptability are key. What are you seeing from the people you work with in terms of how that's changed in recent times because of the economy?
Yeah, well, I think you kind of touched on it. We have to be flexible and adaptable a little faster than we have in the past. I think you have to respond very, very quickly, and that's where something like innovation, ahora mismo, comes in. You know, ahora mismo is Spanish for right now. So when you're doing something different, new, quote-unquote, whether it's about product or service or process, whatever it is, you got to get going. We don't have time to overthink this. You know, you do have to think about it. You do have to try out some actions. But you really got to get moving, and I think that's where flexibility and adaptability really come home with this innovation necessity on the part of business today. And you know what? Probably government, too.
Let me ask you a question about the innovation that you're talking about, because I've run into a number of industries recently in our practice that their business is the buggy whip. They're going to be gone tomorrow. Things are changing dramatically, or at least how they do business. And they have been trying to reinvent themselves for years, but they're stuck. They can't figure out how to reinvent. Any tips for businesses like that?
Well, yeah, I think they need to paint a picture of what they want to look like in the future. They need to see something out there that needs to be done and take advantage of it. You know, Nokia, which at one point had the market, they ruled the market in handsets for cell phones. You know what they used to do? They used to make rubber boots.
Wow. I did not know
that. Wow is right. And so they saw something out there that other people didn't see. So I think what businesses have to do more than anything else is they got to survey the landscape.
Find the need.
Pardon?
Find the need, as it
were. Exactly. Find the need and meet the need. And you meet it better than anybody else, then you have a competitive advantage because you are the ace. You are the one who can do it.
And you raise an interesting point, because if you're making rubber boots and now you're in the phone business, the handset business, that's not even in your area. So they have to really be open, dramatically open. And that again goes back to your flexible and adaptable, dramatically open to being in a new business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at a company like General Electric. They make light bulbs, they make jet engines, they make MRIs, they make locomotives, they have a huge financial company. You know, you got that way because you saw a need and you addressed it and use whatever strategy works best for you, buying a company or two, or starting out from scratch. I mean, Intel is putting together a strategy for itself. They're buying up companies. And they think that gives them a distinct advantage because now they're not just making chips, but they're making things on both ends, before the chip and after the chip.
Yeah, you know,
that's a great strategy.
I think you're right, and I love reading the Wall Street Journal every day and seeing some of these acquisitions that are being made, and some of them are very wise, like the one you just described, and then we're all scratching our head about AOL and their acquisitions and mergers and continued failures of acquisitions and mergers and the money they're spending on it. So some of it is less strategic than it should be, you know, what we see every day.
Exactly. You got to do this with a good amount of analysis, though. I remember one of my clients was an electric power company, and they bought an insurance company, and within a couple of years, they sold it because they had no idea, and they weren't willing to let the people who knew how to run the insurance business run it.
Yeah,
so it doesn't always work.
Yeah, sometimes the
you got to be out there trying.
Sometimes the entrepreneur bug gets in the way. You know, I can do anything. And like you said, it's not really well thought through. So how will we know if leaders have been successful in developing themselves as leaders? How do we know that?
I think there are probably two ways. Number one, you look at their success and you determine how you're going to measure them yourself. I think too often we use measurement approaches that are industry specific, and we take somebody else's measurement system and we use it to measure how successful our leaders are. No. Figure out your own way to measure based upon your own organizational environment. That's one way that I think is real necessary. And secondly, you have to look at your talent management strategy. Now, is your talent management strategy really giving birth to and growing leaders? And I think an analysis of that happens very quickly. Because, you know, this whole business of leadership, education, training, and development, if you're doing it well, it's a competitive advantage. I mean, look at PepsiCo. Look at General Electric. Look at Intel. They had far-reaching leadership training, development, and education all up and down the chain of command. And these companies are doing great.
Yes, and I agree with you. I see the companies that invest. We had on the show Sandy Pierce from the sponsor of the Hudson Institute, and Sandy and I were talking about that recently, about the investment in training and the ROI. So many companies fail to understand the gigantic ROI of training their people and leadership training. If you've got an organization where you want people to be rising to the top, it's a very important investment.
Unquestionably.
So how will organizations benefit from this overhaul of a leadership paradigm that we're talking about?
Well, if I may, I think we can go back to some of the companies I mentioned. If you follow the stock price of a company like Intel, if you follow the stock price of a company like Coca-Cola when Roberto Goizueta was there, if you follow American Airlines when Bob Crandall was there, Intel when Andy Grove was there, these were the creme de la creme. These people were running the company. But they had to be surrounded by many other leaders up and down the chain of command to make it successful. So one thing you really see for an organization is an increase in stock value. And I think when you see that, that's a great indicator that we've been successful with our leadership, education, development, and training. Not the only thing to look at, but I think that's huge.
Yes, it's
that is really huge.
And these companies are, you know, the CEOs that are most successful in these organizations are not afraid to surround themselves with people who are as good, if not better than them in certain disciplines. The CEO can't be the finance guy, the operations guy, and the marketing guy. They usually, the CEOs come to the helm with one really strong discipline, one of those things. And so they need to complement themselves with leaders in these other areas. Is that fair to say?
Oh, exactly. Yes, they want the best person available to complement what they do well and also to build upon things that they do well. And I think when you have that twin-pronged approach, you know, it's hard to imagine that you might miss unless something in the economy just, you know, blows a big hole in your business.
Yeah, so let's just get back for a minute. We're getting ready to wrap up the show. Let's just talk about, because it's my favorite topic too, it's what you talked about in the beginning of the show, is the alignment or the connection between all of the things that the employees do and how it relates to ultimately the customer and the strategic objectives.
Yeah, I think you have to look at the values of the employee and the values of the organization and make sure they're aligned. And I think customers will do business also with organizations that have values that the customers are aligned with. So trying to create values alignment or values congruence is huge. And some of the research I've conducted really points to the fact that the organizations are more successful when they have values congruence. And this drives the strategy because it's the foundation for the strategy. And you can't build a strategy that's going to be successful until you have that.
Yes, I say it, and I absolutely agree with you. I say it another way, that too many companies ask themselves strategically, where do we want to be next year and the year after? They should be asking, what do our customers want from us next year and the year after? And then they need to absolutely align to that. And the voice of the customer is, in my research, I think you may recall, I've talked to you about this, about 90% of the small, medium-sized businesses are not talking to their customers sufficiently to have that alignment. And they're leaving money on the table every single day because of just what you're talking about, that they're not meeting that need and there is not that values congruence.
I know. Isn't that scary that they don't talk to the people?
It's frightful.
Their products and services?
It is frightful. So, Dr. Bob, we're getting ready to wrap up here. I'd like you to give us a contact for you. We have 1 minute left. Give us your contact information if our listeners would like to learn more about your book and what you're talking about.
Oh, sure. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm at Nova Southeastern University's Huizinga School. I can be reached at my email, Preziosi, Preziosi, at nova.edu. And I love telephone conversations, too, 954-262-5111. But if you don't want to talk or email me, that's fine. But you do want to know what's on the road, what the 12 lanes are on the road, look for The Leadership Road. You can buy books where you usually buy books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
Thank you, South Florida, for tuning in, and go to mindyourbiztoday.com.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.